Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the Roundball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Ed McCauley, Paul Arizin, Joey Devine, Adrian Smith, Tom Chambers, Sean Keen, Brandy Smith, Patreons, James Wardell, thank you, James, Abraham Rink, thank you, Abraham, Maxwell Parkinson, thank you, Maxwell, musical guest, Everlast, and now the temporary host of Roundball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Roundball Rock Podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode. I'm here, as always, with my good friend, Sean Keen. Sean, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you, Joey?
I'm pretty good. I just want to say my name is Joey, but in fourth grade Spanish, my name was Jose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In sixth grade Spanish, there was another Sean and two other Johns, and my name was Pascual.
Ooh.
I hope you know I'm bowing as I say that out of respect for the Spanish language.
Were there any children who had Spanish names already who had to keep their regular names, because that's some racist shit that even bothered me as a child?
That definitely happened.
Before we get started with our show, I should just I just want to thank everybody who came to Podstar Weekend at the Virgil on Thursday. It was great. We saw our friend Dubaru. We saw our friend Chris Crittenden. I'm sure we had other friends there who did not speak to us because we looked terrifying in Joker makeup.
Yes.
Our friend Chris Ryan, he was there.
Our buddy Chris Ryan.
Coach Tyler, he was also there.
I shook hands with Coach Tyler.
But yeah, big thanks to the Airbuds and everybody who came out. And it was nice to meet all of our pod friends. Got to talk to Hayes for a few minutes. Never get to talk to Hayes.
Hayes D.
Yeah. Busy man.
To protect this anonymity.
Some more business, though, of course, before we get the show started. 5-star reviews on iTunes, if you could, please. It helps, according to every other podcast. We are not sure if that is true, but we don't want to... Look, we're concerned with keeping up with the Joneses here at Roundball Rock. And we want to keep up with the Joneses with those 5-star reviews. We actually got one this week, Sean.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Let me read it real quick. It's from Upset Skins Fan, who said the title is "This podcast is good," and the middle section, of course, is the body, if you will, says after exactly one beer. So I'm pretty sure that's Zach Lowe.
Oh wow!
Yeah, thanks for listening.
I had a feeling he'd been listening. Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter at Round Rock Pod. Email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your mom about the show. Any listener helps. Also, patreon.com/roundrockpod. Am I forgetting something?
No, I think that's it.
I think that's it. I got so used to also having Podstar Weekend in there. I now feel empty.
Yeah.
We should be doing more live shows.
Right. It's true. Get those juices going. Yeah.
Speaking of Podstar Weekend and the phone.
No.
We have a lot of voicemails this week, Sean.
We do. It's one of our hottest growing segments. Is people calling up to leave voicemails at Roundball Rock.
Which you can do again at the number the robot is about to say, or in the body of the in the description of this episode. I keep saying body, and it's bothering me. All right, let's go to the phones.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342, please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
All right, Sean, our first voicemail comes from our friend Dubberoo, who in the Poppin' Off Discord, which again you can get in for just $3 a month at patreon.com/roundrockpod, they asked him to call up and describe what happened to him at Podstar Weekend. So here is Dubberoo.
Oh, hello, Roundball Rock voicemail number. Super disturbing. That's what it actually is, but okay. I'm leaving a message because I've been requested to tell people about Podstar Weekend, which was one of my favorite nights that I've had in a long time. Just to lead off of the bat here, Joey and Sean were absolute gems. They are amazing people. This is Dubberoo, by the way. And they took me to a separate bar afterwards. I'm sad I got to miss Dave and Chris Ryan and everybody too. But Sean and Joey's set was unbelievable. Most of the other groups just did their little PowerPoint presentations, which was fine. They were funny. Everybody was good. Nobody was bad. Nitz and I forget who Nitz was with. I don't even know. I'm just rambling right now. But Joey and Sean were nice enough to take me to a separate bar afterwards and get me more fucked up and lead it to my wife getting super messed up. And then Joey was nice enough to buy me a taxi to send me to a separate hotel that I was not actually staying at, and my wife was so messed up we got kicked out of that hotel, but we ended up making it back to our own hotel, which was nice. It only took 7 hours to drive back from Los Angeles to San Diego, so that was a very fun drive. hungover the next day. But what I can say is, yeah, Jillian and Sean are two great people. And we went to lunch with Joey the next day. He was very nice and didn't insult me anymore. But it was good. All right, don't know where I'm going with this anymore. Kind of ran out of time here. But, yeah, I'll send this in a message. But say, yes, I appreciate you guys joining, Sean. That was awesome. It's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the next show.
Couple of things I should mention here. I did send Tabaru and his wife, who'd been overserved, to the wrong hotel. And I feel really bad about it. But it's because there are two hotels. One is called the Hollywood Hotel. Mm-hmm. And one is called the Historic Hollywood Hotel.
Oh!
And I sent them to the Hollywood Hotel, and they were staying at the Historic Hollywood Hotel.
I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I think the Historic Hollywood Hotel is probably nicer.
Dubaru says it was worse. He says the Hollywood Hotel is nicer.
is it the one that does the one that has like comedy shows?
That's the Hollywood Hotel. That's the one I sent them to. Historic Hollywood Hotel is on Melrose.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the non-historic Hollywood Hotel, you could tell it's not historic because they have multiple posters for the movie Couples Retreat.
Mm-hmm. They do, yeah. So I'm sorry I got you guys kicked out of a hotel room, but I will say, also, he says I did not insult him anymore at lunch. I don't believe I was insulting Dubaru at any point during the weekend. I would never do that to our fans and our friends, like Dubaru and his wife. So,
yeah, they were great. It was so cool. It was great to meet both of them. I had known before that Dubaru had a wife, but she was great.
She's absolutely delightful. All right, that's enough looking up our own assholes, though. Sean, though, you went to a Grateful Dead cover band show with our friend at Ninja Purtle, formerly Shot Daddy, the King Questioner himself, Dave Jordan.
That is correct,
on
Joey.
Sunday. Yeah, how'd that go?
I mean, look, you're probably meeting him was great. I was also with my whole family because my dad wanted to see a Grateful Dead cover band that just plays on Monday nights in San Diego. So that's what we did for his birthday. And we all learned how to play the game Pinnacle.
Excuse me?
He was really
insistent. What's the name of that game?
Pinnacle?
Pinnacle? Isn't it Pinnacle? I've never heard it said out loud now that I think about it. I've only ever read it. I think you're probably saying it right.
Okay, I mean, I don't really know. We were kind of going off some weird church rules. But yeah, just for the record, my father does not live in
San Diego.
San Diego.
He drove to San Diego to see a cover band for his birthday.
They did fly at least. But from the Bay Area. And the cover band was great, but you have to probably enjoy the music of the Grateful Dead. But it was very disco heavy. Our listener was great. My parents were dancing quite a lot. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, that's sweet.
Did Dave Jordan who again is the person who asks the best reader questions. Did he give
That's
you any
true.
Hints about any future gems he has down the pipe?
No, he didn't, because he's a professional. Okay. He doesn't want me to get, you know, we can't prepare. We don't prepare for these questions, you know, a lot, you know, we gotta, you know.
I mean, sometimes we do.
Actually, So sometimes we spend a great deal of time thinking about our answers. But it was great. And thank you, City of San Diego. I'm sorry I did not get to see Dubaru a second time. But he did invite me to watch the All-Star game with him. And I did join an all-star betting pool for the MVP.
You did not win.
And I did not win. I got Trae Young in the random draw. They should have put him back in, Joey.
I disagree. Kyle Lowry's better. I'm with the Raptors Twitter on that one.
No. That's not the one. That's not the guard I would have replaced. Kyle Lowry ruled. It's that other fellow.
All right.
He's not tall, baby.
We've got to keep going, though. All right. Our next question comes from Billy. Let's see what Billy has to say.
Hey, Sean and Joey. It's Billy. I'm not your friend, and I don't have a podcast. I'm just a guy who's never paid you any money. Couple questions. What do the analytics say about the percentage of listeners that actually listen to Sean's songs at the end of the episode? I'll set the over-under at 2.5. Also, who do you think has the worst tattoos in the NBA? I have a bunch myself, some better than others. So I'm really just looking for reasons to hate myself a little bit less. Thanks. I'll hang up and listen.
All right. First things first, I want to say, definitely more than 2.5 people listen to Sean's songs. Sean, I'm going to take this first part of the call for you. You don't have to say anything. Way more than 2.5 people listen to Sean's songs because, and if you're not listening to Sean's songs, you're actually doing yourself a disservice. Because as a person who has nothing to do with the making of those songs, the best jokes in our podcast a lot of time are in those songs. So you're missing maybe the funniest thing that happens on the show. Another thing I want to say, Billy, is you claim that you're not our friend, but guess what? Anyone who listens to the show is our friend, even if they're nagging us about the things that take a lot of work to go into putting on the show. but guess what? Any listener of this show, you're our friend, baby. So thanks for being my friend, Billy. But let's get to the tattoos, his real questions. First off, also, Billy, don't be down on your own tattoos. You gotta own those, my man. Stop hating yourself. Because you know what? Me and Sean, we love you. But Sean, who do you think has the worst tattoos in the NBA?
I mean, we sort of have left the golden era of terrible NBA tattoos.
Yeah, Kenyon Martin not in the league.
And you just had some... The trend of mistranslated Chinese tattoos has also seemed to have abated a little bit. We don't even really have any, like, I can't think of a tattoo that would make you so ashamed that you couldn't take your shirt off and celebrate a championship with your teammates. Right? Is there a tattoo that's mythical Jose Altuve bad?
I know who has the worst tattoos in the NBA, though.
Who is
it? It's Marco Bellinelli. No one talks about this, but they're... Marco Bellinelli has the worst tattoos in the NBA.
And he decided to get them at, like, age 32.
Yeah. So I pulled it up. I finally was able to find someone covering all of Marco Bellinelli's tattoos, which we've been trying to do on this podcast for quite a while. But someone finally brought them. So here's what he has. On his left arm, he has a Spartan helmet, which, you know, is one of those helmets from 300. I'm assuming it's because of 300, too.
Right. That's what I thought, too.
I mean, he's also Italian, so he probably has, like, Spartan, but it's because of the popularity of 300 that he got that helmet. He also has a feather. Just a big cartoon feather. He has a red diamond. And on the inside of his left forearm, he has a fedora. He has a tattoo of a fedora.
That's the single worst tattoo in the NBA.
Well, there's more, though. On the back of Bellinelli's arm, he has text that says, "The will must be stronger than the skill." He also, on the backside of his arm, next to the fedora and the Spartan helmet, has a pair of hanging boxing gloves and a pair of dice.
It's so weird.
You know why he has the boxing gloves though, right?
I don't.
They say he looks like Sylvester Stallone.
Oh.
This is all like Italian bullshit. You know what I mean? It's like a mobster's hat.
That's right.
Like gambling, like Sparta, and fucking Sylvester and Rocky.
Right, right. I just didn't think that actual Italian people were also into Stallone. But you know what? I'm not. I was wrong.
But he's into Stallone because they say he looks like Stallone. I'm guaranteed.
Do you think he looks like Stallone?
No, but like when he was young, they were like, he looks like young Stallone. He's like, they called him like Rocky Bellinelli and shit. Don't you remember that shit?
I don't. I definitely don't.
But no, he does not look like Sylvester Stallone.
He's just Italian.
Yes, he's just Italian.
But he has like tattoos that someone who's like a fourth generation Italian American in America gets to try to remind people they're Italian.
Yeah. And the
but Bellinelli is like an Italian citizen who plays for the Italian basketball team.
Whose native language is Italian.
Is Italian, yeah.
And the style of them, I beseech you to look them up, Billy, because they're in a very cartoonish style, I would say.
Well, he got them all in the same offseason, I think, right?
Yes.
Maybe not all of them, but a fair... I think he got the helmet, the dice, and the fedora, and the boxing gloves.
I think so, too.
In, like, the same week, it feels like.
Anyway, thank you for calling us, Billy, our friend. We love you.
Good thing.
Don't neg Sean anymore, please.
Thanks, and how dare you? Yeah, how dare
please
you?
Please don't neg Sean. To any listeners, you can neg me all you want. Don't neg Sean. All right. Our next call comes from... It's a call from our friend Big Corbs. So got to play that drop. Then we'll play his call.
Big Corbs Corner. Big Corbs Corner. Big Corbs Corner. A call from Corbs.
Hey, what's up, guys? Big Corbs here. Sorry, I'm a little noisy. I'm calling you guys from Pickett's Charge, the Battle of Gettysburg. Third day. I've been doing a little time traveling. You know, thought I'd call my boys. I wanted to, hold on a sec, guys. Okay, sorry, I'm at a Anya concert now. A little Orinoco flow. This might be a little better. Anyway, I wanted to call and say the thing about LeBron. He is just an all-star. He's a man. And as a man-star, hold on a sec, guys. I'm just kind of looking at me. All right, this should be a little better. Sorry about that. I meant the final boss battle of the video game Final Fantasy VII, Sephiroth. Yeah, I mean, really, when you think about it, Sephiroth and LeBron are kind of, you know, you get this new kid, like Cloud Strife or Steph Curry or Paul, a little noisy. Hold on, what's that, guys? Okay, I'm sorry. This should be a little better. I'm in lo-fi, hip-hop, radio beats, study and relax, too. And sorry, the girl here is kind of freaking out, so I should probably wrap this up. Anyway, LeBron is a man, an all-star, and a brand. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. I'm going to level with you. That was not Corbin Smith. That was an imposter. But the funniest thing that's going to happen is Corbin is going to listen to this episode and not remember that he didn't call us this week.
Right, right.
And think he did and then be surprised when it's not him.
Right.
Because here's the thing about our friend Corbin Smith. Poor short-term memory does not remember things. Uh, Thank you, fake Corbin A. Smith. I hope it was Corbin Smith NFL.
Yeah, that would...
I don't know who it was, but I hope it was at Corbin Smith NFL, a man who is constantly tormented by the existence of the superior Corbin Smith.
Yeah, he was so frustrated, he got into stand-up comedy, which is the true sign of, I don't know, giving up is too strong a term.
Do you have any dates this week, Sean?
You could see me at the business. Let's see if I got. I'm gonna try to get some Seattle gigs in April. We'll see about that. I'll let you guys know.
We got some paper mail too, Sean.
Oh, we did. Yeah, that's right. Sorry, at first I was like, someone sent us a letter?
I don't know what else to call it. Anyway, let's hear that drop.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it Reader Mail? It is confusing for robots.
Sean, there's one that you didn't put on the list here, and I want to read it to you.
I
want to read it first to you.
Okay.
I don't think you read it.
Okay.
It's from our friend Pemaloni, who says, Daryl Morey drinks Diet Mountain Dew by the gallon. I tried for at least 5 minutes. Oh, so he said on the latest low post.
Yes, I heard this when it happened. Yeah, yes.
Daryl Morey drinks Diet Mountain Dew by the gallon. I tried for at least 5 minutes to come up with a funny question, but I couldn't, and I just think you should know. And so I came up with a question for Sean.
Okay.
Based on Pemaloni's non-question, which is, Sean, you're a Broadway man.
Yes.
Which character in Into the Woods drinks Diet Mountain Dew by the gallon?
Ooh. I mean, I think the most reasonable answer to this is probably... Okay, so I'm going to say there's three candidates. There's Rapunzel's Prince. Just because he... You know, he has to climb that tower, and that's kind of like an extreme sport, but also he's like pretty dumb. So I feel like he would be very into being extreme, but also, you know, make that decision with his soda drinking. Mm-hmm. And also he probably cares about his consumption of carbs.
Mm-hmm.
The other option is Jack. Yeah, the giant killer, also kind of extreme climbing of the beanstalk, but also he's a child, you know, and that I could see a child.
See, I'm
going to
say he
that.
Doesn't go diet, though. Cause he's
yeah, right. Like, why would he do that? Which is why I think it's the wolf, actually. And because the wolf has a lot of behavior that is like menacing, but also the aesthetic kind of feels like... a dude who has maybe just quit hard drugs and is sort of compensating to try to make things extreme in other areas. Like, and I could see the wolf like having to have given up whiskey just before the events of Into the Woods. And just like, that's his jolt is his Diet Mountain Dew.
Okay.
But he's also trying not to blow it up in recovery.
Okay, so the reason I did this is in case Daryl Morey is listening.
Yes.
These are the kind of questions we will ask you when you come on the show.
Right, right.
Daryl Morey, go on Round Ball.
Yeah, go on Round Ball and talk about musical theater with us.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We're going to put it on a free episode, but... I do think that Matthew McConaughey would enjoy talking about it in the Discord, which is why we'd really like to encourage Matthew McConaughey, Oscar-winning actor, to join our Patreon.
Oh, do I have to pay that? I should play that drop now, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess so, yeah. I didn't mean to make you do that, but yeah.
Yeah, so here's what happened. Matthew McConaughey put in, what, like $100 million or something into The Athletic?
Yeah, he was part of an investment group that gave them their most recent round of funding.
So here's, we only want two things from this show. Mm-hmm. You know what? Three things. We want three things from this show, but we have two stated goals. One, to have Daryl Morey on to talk only about Broadway musicals.
Mm-hmm.
And two, to have Matthew McConaughey become our Patreon for 1 month.
1 month at any dollar level.
And I've said it before, I'll say it again. Matthew McConaughey, if you're listening, I will Venmo you $1 more than what you become a Patreon at, whatever level you're at. So if you come in at $5, I'll Venmo you $6.
Right.
I will make sure your investment pays out, which is something The Athletic will not guarantee.
Yeah, this is a guaranteed return on investment here.
We are the sports media venture that you should be investing in. Anyway,
it's true.
Here's the McConaughey drop.
Hello, Shark. And by shark, I mean the star of The Lincoln Lawyer and The Newton Boys, Matthew McConaughey. My name is The Robot, and I'm here to tell you about my business, Round Ball Rock, a podcast that is changing the game in Tillman Fertitta related comedy podcasts. I'm looking for $5 for 100% of my company. Mr. McConaughey, in the movie John Grisham's A Time to Kill, you played a young lawyer fighting for what he believed was right. Well, it's time for you to believe in Round Ball Rock. In Angels in the Outfield, you played on an Angels team that made the World Series all because a child wanted to live with a real family. I am a robot that wants to know love. It's time for you to believe in Round Ball Rock. In Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, you played a man who is haunted by his ex-girlfriends. Why are they all dead? Did he kill them? It's time for you to believe in Round Ball Rock. In The Beach Bum, you played a beach bum. It's time for you to believe in Round Ball Rock. In conclusion, give us $5. It's time for you to believe in Round Ball Rock. Listeners, on the off chance he's not listening to our show for some reason, please tweet at Matthew McConaughey and beg him to be our Patreon. Just for one day. We are way cheaper than The Athletic.
Alright. Back to reader mail. Wow, I don't know, other than Tillman Time, if we've ever had a drop within a segment.
A drop with, yeah.
An extra drop within a segment. Our friend Feeling Minnesota asks, whose presence was most irksome to you from All-Star Weekend coverage? Possible examples: Kristen Ledlow's over-exaggerated campiness, Wade's unprofessional homerism, Reggie Miller excitingly but recklessly adding small numbers together out loud while calling the three-point contest, etc., etc. First off, I want to say something. Yes. Reggie Miller was really good on All-Star Saturday. I loved him. He's bad at calling games. I loved him calling those three-point shootout. I loved him calling the dunk contest because he's excited and horny for something exciting to happen, which is what those things should have.
It felt hornier than normal from Reggie.
Yeah, yeah.
I did enjoy him trying to do math, too.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it. Kristen Ledlow, who I love normally, actually, was having a rough time this weekend, I thought. But for me, there's something that irked me more than anything else this All-Star
weekend.
Oh,
please.
Derek Jones Jr., you cannot bring a giant birthday cake out during a dunk contest and not include it in your dunk.
Yeah, that was messed up.
I see a giant cake coming out. I need that cake to be involved in that dunk. And it, uh-huh. it made me mad the rest of the dunk contest.
Well, because it reminded you of how truly unappreciated
the actual birthday cake dunk
Yeah, the actual birthday cake dunk was, which people just didn't understand what happened at the time. But I'm going to say I still blame Dwayne Wade more than anything for rigging the dunk contest. There's no other way to look at it. He intentionally rigged the dunk contest.
See, I disagree. I think Aaron Gordon deserved to lose because of the actual most annoying people on All-Star Weekend. Yeah,
let me circle back and explain why he's rigging it, and then let's go talk about Aaron Gordon's loserdom. But Dwayne Wade rigged it in favor of Derrick Jones twice by knocking out Pat Connaughton. And then literally at the end of the dunk contest, when all five judges said, let's give the same scores to make it a tie, Dwayne Wade intentionally gave Derrick Jones one more point.
Yeah.
Knowing that it would happen too fast.
I'm not going to talk about Aaron Gordon's loserdom. I'm going to talk about the actual most irksome people from All-Star Weekend, which was the TikTok girls. Which is why Aaron Gordon deserved to lose the dunk contest. those TikTok kids were bad, man. Because well, they weren't even the ones who invented that dance.
Okay, that was, like, more annoying than... I mean, okay. I'm clearly way too old to be talking about TikTok in general. I get it. But also, that degree of... Someone else invented the dance, became Die Hard as a Christmas movie during All-Star Weekend. Yeah, when it's just like, and then she was involved too, and like how they were there so much.
Yeah.
But I don't understand how it like benefits the NBA even necessarily.
I don't know, man, but they were the most irksome presence at All-Star Weekend. And that is why I'm okay with Dwayne Wade rigging the dunk contest like a fucking asshole. Simply because Aaron Gordon reminded us the TikTok kids were there again for the 15th time that weekend during one of his dunks.
What a weird, like, I just don't understand why they're there for the NBA. You know what I mean? Like...
I mean, I get it. The NBA's trying to, like, steal the youth vote. You know what I mean? NFL's not being like, TikTok kids! Look, we've got TikTok kids!
Right, but is it, like... I just thought there would be a little more of... Maybe, like, a tangential relationship to basketball in any way. But maybe that is... Not what All-Star Weekend is about.
It's not. All right, our next question comes from John Sullivan, who asks, even though Michael Jordan is one of the least wealthy NBA owners, do you think he's one of the most respected owners because most of the others revered him when they were merely aspiring psychopathic billionaires? Let's ask that question first. Answer that question first.
Okay,
So yeah, the first time I read this, I didn't realize he was asking about the other owners. I thought he was asking about the players, and I was like, yeah, of course. But now I realize is he the most respected owner among owners because of he's a psychopath.
Right. Like that they've decided to run their businesses as if you needed the kind of ruthlessness that you'd want for... I don't know that I mean there is a large tradition of CEOs thinking like, yeah, I'm exactly like a college basketball coach. Mm-hmm. Rick Pitino has made so much money off that very idea.
I don't think so, actually. Because billionaires are the fucking worst, and they only respect people with money and power. And Michael Jordan does not have as much money as a lot of those people. Also, he runs his team badly, and I think that actually matters.
Oh, in terms of how much they respect him?
And as much as in terms of how owners respecting other.
It kind of depends on the owner, I think. I think younger owners of all stripes think he's everybody likes Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of like the billionaires being bad people is kind of irrelevant to whether you like Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that's
true. I think bad people probably like Michael Jordan more. because also I think there is something to the fact that when someone who represents something that a billionaire can't buy.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That Michael Jordan is the king of that. He has something they can never buy.
Right. But also some of them are probably... How many NBA owners out of the 30 do you think are, like, pretty racist? I mean, Gail 11? Benson.
11?
Basically.
What? Say that again?
I said Gail Benson, obviously, is 100%.
I would say, I mean, they're less racist than other sports owners, for sure.
Right, because you must have, like, some interest in basketball.
But, like, I don't know. I would guess there's some pretty racist owners.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know what number to put it at. It's probably a third, right?
Yeah, that seems about right.
Yeah. Okay, our next question, though, is the one the next part of this question is the one I really want to answer. John asks, also, do you think the weird Grizzlies owner who wears a compression sleeve has ever challenged Jordan to horse? Now, his name is Robert Pera, first off.
Yeah.
And secondly, a thing to remember about Robert Pera is he once challenged one of his own players to a one-on-one game. He was going to play Tony Allen one-on-one.
Yes.
And I believe it was Dave Yeager had to stop it.
Right.
From happening, yeah.
And Robert Pera, one of our younger owners, and a guy who, I don't know how good he is on the court, but he is a guy that puts up shots every day.
He says he can dunk.
Yeah, he's like he's taller than you'd think because he kind of has a frail look to him.
But no, he just definitely wore those jump shoes.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he's definitely a guy who wears those jump shoes, which for younger listeners, they might not know what those are.
But, oh, yeah.
What were those called?
But they're like, they have a thick, they're like heavy, and
there's
they have
Seinfeld
an extra thick.
There's a Seinfeld episode about them.
Right.
Jimmy's training shoes from Seinfeld.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, they were called catapult training vertical jump shoes.
Uh-huh.
And they're like the opposite of a high heel, sort of.
Right. Yeah.
They're on the front part of the shoe, so you walk on your tiptoes,
and it's supposed to strengthen your feet because you don't just train in them. I think you're supposed to just wear them all the time.
I believe and then they train your, they somehow make you jump higher. Yeah. I wonder if anyone wears those anymore. Anyway,
if you've ever worn those, please call us at Roundball Rock and talk about your experiences.
Robert Pera has definitely worn those. And that's how he's able to dunk, right?
I mean, if I haven't seen him dunk, but yeah. But also, anecdotally, I know people who went to high school with him. Mm-hmm. So he's from the Bay Area. And apparently he was always very smart and used to spend his lunch periods just like shooting threes the whole time.
There is a YouTube video called Memphis Grizzlies owner Robert Pera can dunk.
Ooh.
Damn.
So I think he basically, God, I'm trying to think if he seems like someone that would buy a one-on-one game with Michael Jordan for charity or something.
Okay, sorry, back to this.
Yeah, I just
want to say something real quick. I don't know how we've never talked about this, but the headline of this article is Grizzlies owner Robert Parra shows up Steve Ballmer by dunking without trampoline.
I love
that. That's the whole reason he released a video of himself dunking.
Because he saw Ballmer go off a trampoline and he's like, fake. That's fake. He went off a trampoline. Why isn't anyone reporting on this? This is fake. He cheated.
Yeah, I think Paris definitely challenged Michael Jordan a horse.
I think he's too scared to, but he just is like, it is his dream to play horse against Michael Jordan.
I also think he challenged Tony Allen one-on-one.
Yeah, but Tony Allen was his employee.
Yeah, but
Michael
Tony
Jordan
Allen
could laugh in his face and like ruin his life.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's all I'm saying is like, there's that heartbreak component of Michael, like, you know, as long as he doesn't get crazy and talk to Michael Jordan about dunking or challenge him to a 3-point contest, he can still have Michael Jordan in his life as a peer.
Right.
But just imagine if he makes that horse offer, like that's embarrassing forever.
Here's a question for you. So I was thinking of it the other way. Like, I thought you meant he was, like, afraid to lose horse to Michael Jordan. But I was thinking, like, no, like, one-on-one against Tony Allen is way harder than horse against Michael Jordan. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because Tony Allen's really going to guard you hard.
Especially if you're his boss.
Yeah.
Like, there's some guys who would have eased up. That's not Tony Allen.
No. All right. Tyler MJ, our final question of the day, asks, he sent us the cover of the Outkast the Harden Westbrook Outkast GQ cover, and asks, obviously Lone Ranger and Tonto is pretty good, but what other duos could Harden and Russ have gone with here?
I mean, there's like,
well, there's
some
one
real, like,
out the window right away. You cannot do Batman and Robin because the metaphor, they both want to be Batman and nobody wants to be Robin, is like so overused in basketball circles. So that's a big duo straight out the window.
Yeah, I think that is.
I would have liked to see Holmes and Watson.
Right. Which one do you think is Holmes and which one's Watson?
I mean, it's very clearly Harden is Holmes and Westbrook is Watson.
Yeah, he's like more energetic.
But also, like, one's a genius, but one's like has feelings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see that. I could see like kind of a Lethal Weapon pairing too.
Who's getting too old for this though?
James Harden is getting too old for this. Even though Russell Westbrook is actually getting too old for this,
he's the
Lethal Weapon. Also, look, we're not afraid of a cross racial comparison here on Round Ball Rock. Could they have been the Bad Boys, Joey? You've seen Bad Boys 3, Bad Boys.
No.
Life.
No, they both try too hard to be Will Smith. They're like two Will Smiths.
Yeah, they can't be the Men in Black for that same reason.
But no, see, I actually think Men in Black is closer than the Bad Boys. Like, there's a certain aspect to James Harden's game that's a little Tommy Lee Jonesy in Men in Black. You know what I mean?
Well, what he heard is he heard that speech at the beginning of The Fugitive, and he was like, Flophouse? What's that? You know, search every doghouse, henhouse, courthouse, outhouse, and flophouse.
There's two more I would have liked to have seen them do.
Okay.
I would have liked to see them do Mulder and Scully.
Yeah.
I mean, very clearly, Westbrook is the Mulder and Harden's the Scully.
He's like, he's skeptical of things like I don't, you're saying Harden would be like, I'm not going to believe that you can actually make a three-pointer until right. I see it.
Well, I was thinking of more along the lines like Fox Mulder's entire thing is like, he's like emotionally driven, you know, where it's like, my sister was abducted by aliens, which to me is very Westbrookian. Harden is very like analytical, if you will, in the way he approaches basketball.
I think I would have saved that cover for Kyrie and Durant though.
I also would have liked to see them do Walter White and Jesse Pinkman.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I mean, that one is, we don't even need to explain that one, correct?
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Who's the Burton? Who's the Ernie, Sean?
I see Westbrook as the more tightly wound one.
Mm-hmm.
He's more of the Bert. He has to deal with more like messes created by his teammates and roommates.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think he is more likely to have like a well organized paperclip collection.
All right, here's another question: which one's the key and which one's the peel?
Oh, which one loves Mayor Pete the most? Oh, wait, that was a fake endorsement.
Yeah,
That was
a fake endorsement. Yeah.
That's interesting. I kind of think Harden is the peel and Russ is the key.
I think so, too.
Because there's that like emergence on a larger stage element too.
This guy
should have had his own team years ago.
I have another Kyrie Durant one that they should next year. Okay. Rust Cole and Detective Marty Hart from True Detective.
Do you think it? I would say that Durant is the Rust Cole.
Oh no way! Kyrie's the Rust Cole.
Kyrie's like has female relationships and stuff.
Yeah, but Kyrie's the one like staring into space, saying "Time's a flat circle."
It's true. It's true. I was like pretty into like, I don't know, Russ Cole hating people's wives, you know?
Yeah. All right. Which one is Michael Scott and which one's Dwight Schrute?
Do you remember when, was it Westbrook who got his car filled with popcorn one time?
I don't remember this.
The victim of pranks. Russ seems much more likely to have a beet farm to me.
All right, this one's easy. By the way, I'm just on a list of the best TV duos of all time.
Oh, okay.
All right, who's McNulty and who's Bunk? This one's easy, I think.
Oh, wait, who's McNulty? Oh, from The Wire.
Yeah. It's got to be Westbrook's McNulty and Harden's Bunk.
Right.
All right, who's Patsy and who's Adina from Absolutely Fabulous? That's the one they should have done.
That would have been an amazing one. Do you think that those guys have ever seen a moment of Absolutely Fabulous?
No, 100% no.
I would say. Wait, now I'm forgetting the character's names. Patsy's the blonde, right?
Patsy's the blonde, I believe, yeah.
Patsy is Russ, Adina is Harden.
All right, which one is Coach and which one is Tammy Taylor from Friday Night Lights?
Oh. God, like neither. Neither. I mean, they're more like a Buddy Garrity and a JT McCoy's dad. But I guess I would say that I think Westbrook is the more maternal figure of the two.
All right, which one is Bob and which one is David from Mr. Show with Bob and David?
I think that Russ is definitely Bob, and sorry. I think Harden is Bob.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
Russ
is
David. Sorry.
All right. Which one is Itchy and which one is Scratchy?
Oh man! Doesn't it seem like Harden has had more cannonballs blow up in his face?
Yes,
over
it does
the
seem
years,
that way. Yeah.
Where like Russ is more into relentlessly attacking.
Mm-hmm. I will
and
say
Harden is more into a scheme that like really goes badly at the crucial moment.
I will say Eric Gordon is definitely Poochie in this. Oh my. All right, which one's
signed before your contract? He's going back to his home planet anyway.
Which one's Abby and which one's Alana from Broad City, Sean?
Oh.
I think Harden's Abby.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the fashion is just what gives the Westbrook Alana over the top, right?
He's also way more likely to be hanging out with Hannibal Buress.
All right, which one's Beavis and which one's Butthead?
You know, this doesn't quite fit the dynamic as before, but I think that Harden is actually more of a Beavis, and I think that Russ is more of a Butthead.
I think that's correct. Because it's an energy thing with Beavis and Butthead.
Right, exactly, right.
All right, which one is Hannibal Lecter and which one is Will Graham? Sean.
That's my iconic TV duo. Jesus Christ.
Number 19, according to Rolling Stone.
That show got very hard to watch for me. They spent a lot of time just playing operas.
Answer the question.
Right. Who's Hannibal? Who's Will Graham? I think James Harden has much more of an ability to get into the mind of a crazy.
I think James Harden's the Will Graham, and that's partly why he.
Yeah.
Will Graham also consistently chokes in the clutch in any version of Red Dragon that you read.
He just can't get it done, and he knows the right thing to do.
But instead, he goes home to Florida and gets stabbed.
Yeah.
All right. Who's Frasier and who's Niles?
Oh, you know, just very simply, I would say that Russ is the Niles, Harden is the Frasier.
Mm-hmm.
Because Westbrook is like, Niles is, I would say, arguably the Uber Frasier, but also Westbrook is the one that, they split up and then they come back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, which one's Don Draper and which one's Peggy Olson?
Oh, boy. James Harden because he's... James Harden is Don Draper because he's like... more into the Draper lifestyle, I would say.
Yeah, and I would say in Oklahoma City, he was Dick Whitman, not James Harden.
Yeah, and he's just like, I was never a sixth man. Also, the shady payoffs, Don Draper, if he could have afforded it, wouldn't he have had someone beat up Moses Malone Jr. to get with, like, TWA?
All right, this is one that GQ should actually do with somebody. Are you ready, Sean? Which one is Larry Sanders and which one is Hank Kingsley?
Oh my god. God, I was just thinking, like, who's the most deeply insecure? And I'm kind of like, well, it is both of them, actually.
Right.
So, Who does the shittier endorsements, would you say? Harden, right? Isn't Russ like a little more selective about his commercials?
But like, see, I think Harden's commercials are at least so boring you don't remember them, where Russ has like Mountain Dew Kickstart commercials.
Oh, right. Yep, that I had forgotten. Do you think that him going to Houston means that they're going to make a diet Mountain Dew Kickstart?
It's very possible. To merge
the worlds of Russell Westbrook and Daryl Morey.
All right, and finally, Sean.
Uh-huh.
This one is the easiest one yet, I think.
Okay.
Who's Kirk and who's Spock?
Oh, who's the emotionless robot? Uh-huh. And who's the one who gets too recklessly aggressive to the point that it undermines his own behavior? Russ is Captain Kirk and James Harden is Spock.
Well, it turned out to be a great question that we spent way longer on than I thought we would.
Can I ask you just one big question?
Yeah.
Which one's Rizzoli and which one's Isles?
I forget which one is which.
Rizzoli is Angie Harmon, I believe.
Oh, Russ is Rizzoli and Harmon is Isles.
Yeah, the medical examiner.
Yeah.
Once again, it may shock you to know this, 7 seasons of Rizzoli and Isles.
All right, Sean, which one's Franklin and which one's Bash?
I am going to have to look up which one is which, but I'm going to say that Russell Westbrook is the Brecklin Meyer character.
The Brecklin Meyer character, all right. Which, by the way, do you know how many seasons Franklin and Bash had, Sean?
3? 4. Oh my god.
Breckenmeyer was Elmo, Jared Franklin, and Mark Paul Gosselaar was Peter Bash.
Weird.
Don't forget America's favorite super hard body, Kumail Nanjiani, played Pindar Singh, of course.
That's true. Franklin and Bash. It was like a great time to be a certain kind of stand-up comedian / aspiring actor, as witnessed by Baron Vaughn's role in what is that one called?
Grace and Frankie.
No, it's Sarah. It's the one with Sarah Shahi, where she's like a process server or something.
Dude, I don't remember. Love Baron Vaughn though.
He's great.
We are Baron Vaughn. I would actually say friend of the pod.
Yeah, he is a friend of mine. Yeah. Fairly Legal is the name of that show. And Baron Vaughn's character, his name is already Baron Vaughn, and his character's name is Leonardo Prince.
All right, should we...
She's a mediator. That's what her job is on that show. All right.
Let's just do the news and then get out of here. We'll do the buyout game for
Patreon. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, let's go to the news.
Yeah.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean. Our first story is, of course, our top story. Everyone's talking about it.
Yeah.
The Jeremy Pargo era is over in San Francisco. The Golden State Warriors declined to give Pargo or Zach Norvell Jr. a second 10-day contract.
Oh, my God.
Rest in peace,
rest
Jeremy
in
Pargo.
Yeah.
I don't know why they were wasting one of their 10-day contracts on a 33-year-old point guard, but in the first place, I love Jeremy Pargo.
He was third on the season in 3-point shooting with 43%. The leader is, of course, Juan Toscano-Anderson, and in second place is Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, you know those classic Warriors you think of. Our big story, though, the one I really want to talk about, Sean, is the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, John B.
Yes.
This seems unprecedented what has happened with him today, correct?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Why don't you tell the listeners what's going on with Cleveland Cavaliers coach John Beilein?
So he, before the season, signed what I believe was a 4-year contract with maybe a team option on the fifth year.
Yes.
It was a fairly sizable amount of money for former University of Michigan head coach and even more former Pitsnoggle whisperer in West Virginia, John Beilein, beloved college coach, played like a crazy 3-point heavy offensive style, also used to play a really crazy zone defense. He's also just turned
68, I think is right.
Yeah.
It was very weird for a man to get his first NBA job at 68 years old.
But yeah, he got a 5-year, well, he was 67 when he signed the deal, Joey.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm being ageist.
And it looks like he got a big raise for this job.
Yeah, he was making $3.3 million at Michigan a year. And the Athletic, they never said how much they were paying Beilein, but the Athletic is saying it's between $4 and $4.5 million a year.
Right. And it's just weird because look, the Cavs are terrible this year. Mm-hmm. But also, they knew they were going to be terrible. There was
We still haven't explained what Beilein's doing.
Sorry. What Beilein's doing is he's leaving. He's quitting at the All-Star break in the first year of this. He's apparently getting a portion of this year's remaining salary bought out and then forfeiting the rest.
Which, so, I got to say, if I were, say, Rick Carlisle, who I believe is the president of the coaching union, I'd be not happy about this.
No, but it's like he almost feels like a scab anyway. Like,
right.
He was in the coaches union for 6 months, and I mean, it just seems like he got to the NBA and hated it immediately, and was just sort of like, oh, well, I'm gonna leave immediately. I believe the Cavs initially leaked this information during the fourth quarter of the All-Star
game. It's true. They did. Yep.
So, like, the ultimate burying bad news dump. And it seems like Woj just talked about the formalized announcement just to give it, like, a second bump because everyone would have missed it. He's out. Joey, do you know who the new coach of the Cavaliers is?
I do. And let's be honest, he's not going to be. There's no way they're hiring him full time, right? This is
they claim he is now the permanent coach.
No fucking way. That's a lie.
It's the NBA's all-time interim coach,
J.B. Bickerstaff.
J.B. Bickerstaff. Yes, he's been the interim coach in Houston when James Harden fired Kevin McHale. He was an interim turned permanent coach in Memphis, taking over after Fizdale got fired.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
And now he is taking over the Cavs after Beilein got fired. Apparently they got hired as a package deal, and the idea was they would eventually transition to Bickerstaff, which seems like a weird move given that J.B. Bickerstaff has coached like 2.5 years of NBA basketball at this point.
Also, seems wrong considering they signed John Beilein to a 5-year deal.
Right. But also I have to say, I guess I can see the sort of like basis for Mark Jackson's terror of all his assistant coaches. Where it's like, oh yeah, I guess I would fire a disappointing coach if I had a good alternative like that. Except J.B. Bickerstaff does not seem like a good alternative.
Right.
Well, and
he's probably better than Beilein, right?
Yeah, I mean, almost anyone is better than it didn't work. They were having a lot of trouble pretty early on.
I do want to say, John Beilein should call Brian Wilson immediately. Because that is another man who walked away for millions of dollars because he hated someone with the last name Love so much.
Yeah, pretty good point. Can't believe, wow.
This is he's leaving because of Kevin Love, right? This is entirely Kevin Love related.
Yeah, because for everybody else, you know, he kind of stopped playing the style he brought in and started playing like regular NBA sets pretty early. But no, I mean, just them being bad. I haven't heard that. I mean, maybe he really hates coaching Colin Sexton, but I don't know. Do you think getting Drummond was the last straw?
I don't know, man.
I think Drummond's actually probably a fine player to coach. Now the fact that they have four different centers that are making like at least $15 million a year, that might not have encouraged
him. Well, they're buying out Tristan Thompson, right?
Right, but they still have Drummond, Love, and Larry Nance makes way more money than you think he makes. like when you think about Larry Nance, off the top of my head, I'd be like, I guess I might give him the mid-level.
He makes like $17 million a year, doesn't he?
It is 4 for $45 million.
Yeah, that's a lot. all right, let's also do these last two stories real quick here. Do you want to talk about Steph Curry's horny picture? Because I don't really have anything to say about it. But Sean, I believe you do.
I just feel like we need to mention it.
Yeah.
this Steph Curry. Do you know how sometimes when you. Okay, I don't have the horniest Instagram follow list myself, but occasionally you will end up like following comedians and like you'll look at Instagram in public and somehow it's like a picture of like a 24-year-old comedian that kind of looks like child porn. You know what I mean? Have you had that experience of just somebody like a real aggressive thirst trap that shocks you?
Uh-huh.
And it's a little embarrassing. That's how I felt with this Steph Curry picture popped up at the top of my feed on Instagram while I was sitting next to my mom and immediately was like, I got to put this phone down. Steph is holding up Ayesha Curry, who's
licking his forehead
disturbingly. Mm-hmm. She's wearing a bikini and straddling him, and you can see
he definitely has a boner.
He definitely has a boner, and his left hand appears to be having no trouble grabbing his wife's ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he posted it like an hour before the All-Star game started.
Mm-hmm.
Also, cropped out her feet. That's weird for Steph. And it seems to be that like a year ago, Ayesha Curry said that thing about, I don't know, wanting Steph to be more publicly horny for her. Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He did it. He did it. It does not feel like it is on brand for Steph Curry. It was weird for a lot of reasons. Also the fact that, now with the dynamic of the Curry family, the top comment on it was Callie Rivers Curry, mm-hmm, just being like, yes, queen, come on. I don't really know what it means necessarily, but it was like his contribution to All-Star Weekend.
I don't know. My thing is, let a guy be horny on vacation. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. the thing I was very relieved about, though, Joey, is if Steph Curry was going to miss an All-Star game, this should be the one.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time that he's had to win money for charity by making baskets,
yeah,
it has gone poorly.
Well, no, he won that kid a scholarship in the skills challenge, if you remember correctly.
Just just remembering when it was like, hit a half court shot and it's $1 million for charity.
Yeah.
Okay, hit a regular three for $100,000. Steph, can you make a layup? Close.
All right, and then finally, let's talk about Kyrie. I mean, I guess we can talk about All-Star Weekend, but I feel like every other podcast has covered that. But we'll do that a little afterwards.
Okay.
But let's talk about Kyrie. Sean, Kyrie Irving is the new vice president of the Players Union.
Oh, my God.
I am not sure I've ever been more psyched for a lockout.
Oh, it's going to be an amazing labor negotiation.
There is one thing we should mention that the NBA Players Association did this weekend that no one is talking about, but I thought was a pretty big deal, Sean. They actually made G League players part of their union, which I don't think any other sport has done that yet.
No.
The Major League Baseball union, in fact, constantly fucks over the minor leaguers.
Yeah, they did get a raise this year, but that, I believe, just kind of came from the owners, like, being like, hey, Bernie might win. Let's give these guys a 40% raise. So they're still not really getting enough, but it is a pretty big percentage raise.
Sure. But either way, I look forward to Kyrie Irving opening all of the G League players' third eyes when he gets them each sensory deprivation tanks in collective bargaining when he gives up their guaranteed contracts for DMT and sensory deprivation tanks and premium Joe Rogan podcast subscriptions.
They're all going to get to... They're all going to get to live in his commune, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Now,
Kyrie
did you
definitely listens to Rogan, right?
I mean, he listens to all of it, Joey. He believes everything he reads.
He definitely listens. But very specifically, though, he definitely listens to Joe Rogan's podcast, right?
I think that's probably right, yeah. did you know who the previous vice president of the Players Association was?
Was it Chris Paul?
No, it was Pau Gasol.
Oh. Well, I mean, but it was LeBron. There's a couple of VPs, right? Isn't it LeBron, Chris Paul, and then like a couple? Aren't there like three or four?
I'm going to look that up right now. Because Chris Paul is the president, right?
Yes. But LeBron was a VP. I know he was.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see who the officers are. Hopefully Roger Mason Jr. is no. Yeah, there is president, first vice president, secretary, treasurer, and six additional vice presidents.
Yeah. I knew there were a lot.
So it looks like, man, I have to say, in this NBA Players Association official picture, Kyrie could not look higher. Here's your leadership. The secretary treasurer is Anthony Tolliver.
Okay, that's tight.
The first vice president is Andre Iguodala.
Okay, makes sense.
Then rounding out your six additional vice presidents, Bismack Biyombo.
Okay.
Whose name is misspelled on this. Uh-huh. Malcolm Brogdon.
Oh, the president. He's
the president is the vice president. Jaylen Brown working with Kyrie again. That's a powerful block right there. And you know who I think they're going to be able to bring in to make a voting block? CJ McCollum, vice president. CJ McCollum, Kyrie Irving, and the final vice president, Garrett Temple. So this is, I really think Kyrie Irving is consolidating power here because Garrett Temple is an untradeable net, according to Kyrie's comments earlier this year. He already kind of recruited Jaylen. Like, this is a serious Kyrie power base.
And Chris Paul's the president now?
Chris Paul's the president, but he does not seem like he has that many.
So LeBron was like a wartime vice president?
I believe LeBron was possibly the first vice president. I think Andre took over for him.
Yeah, but it was like, LeBron cared when it was like, oh, we're actually bargaining here, right?
Yeah. Well, and he was like, oh, we're bargaining. Okay, let's make sure that we just raise the age that you can still get a max contract. Yeah, yeah. There's going to be some weird CBA thing that we're going to find out about that allows him to personally draft his own son.
All right. And real quick before we go, did you want to talk about All-Star Weekend?
Let's just go through it real quick. Skills Challenge, your favorite.
Oh, yeah, easily my favorite. Except I thought this year's was kind of whack. Passes. Put more passes in it.
Yeah, I feel like the word challenge could be, I think you could maybe emphasize that a little more, make it a little more challenging. But yeah. I was happy Bam won.
I was also happy Bam won. I was incredibly happy Buddy Hield won.
Oh,
the 3-point shootout, because you know me, I don't like seeing Devin Booker be happy.
Yeah, that's true. He wasn't. I don't think he was very happy. He was. I think he was on a winning team, right? Wasn't he on Team LeBron?
I don't even remember.
Who cares? Whatever, Devin Booker. Enjoy your asterisk All-Star appearance. Why are we being so mean to him? This. And then the dunk contest. We got into it. It was a good dunk contest. I'm going to say I was skeptical about Dwight Howard's claim that Kobe Bryant had
no
agreed.
Way. Yeah, there's no way. Dunk. That was a lie.
Like I'm sure I don't doubt that Dwight asked him and that he was thinking about it. But it just does not seem like how many dunk contests has Kobe helped out with?
Zero.
I think none, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He didn't help Shannon Brown.
Right.
A player I think he actually liked.
That just doesn't, it just doesn't, the way Dwight describes it just really doesn't seem like something Kobe Bryant traditionally is interested in.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. I think Derrick Jones Jr. actually deserves it. I thought he had the best dunk out of everybody.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's who should win.
Aaron Gordon, too. That's 0-for-4 in big championships, right? He had Zach LaVine beat him, Derrick Jones beat him, the drone beat him,
yeah.
And Uncle Drew's team beat him. Just can't win the big one.
Do you want to talk about the actual game? Are you into the Elam ending?
It was fine. The only thing I would say is... I would do something with the uniforms. So, like, make the names bigger. Especially if somebody is going to be... Like, obviously you know who LeBron is, but when you're subbing very quickly and the players aren't even separated by conference, like, don't make the names tiny and at waist level. Especially if maybe, I don't know, everyone on the same team is wearing the same number. Like, I know that...
Sean, I agree with you.
This is some man shit right here.
This is the oldest man shit that's ever been on this podcast.
I was trying to watch the game on kind of a shitty TV at the beginning, and it was just impossible to see what was happening. I know this is an old man thing. The other thing I would say is... I mean, I guess we are now in an era where you're lighting money on fire if the team does not have 12 different uniforms that they wear during the season. But, like, how is the All-Star Game uniform really a big seller in the market? Couldn't they just wear their own team's jerseys? Because
see, I think the problem with that is if they're not doing East-West...
Right.
And they're all wearing different jerseys. No one will know who's on what team.
They're white and colored. Like a regular game. But I guess nobody... I don't know.
Here's what I think they should do. I know how to solve this for you, Sean.
Okay, what is it?
Shirts versus skins.
I mean, well, okay, that's... Again, I still kind of think you need identifying... mark in some way. Like, again, I'm okay with all of this stuff, but just make the names a little bit bigger and maybe have them not at a weird place that jersey names usually are not. But maybe I'm just a voice in the wilderness, Joey, shouting from my AARP meeting.
Congratulations to Team LeBron for drafting all the best players in the NBA once again.
Kind of seems like that first pick is a pretty big advantage. Shouldn't they make it like a snake draft? Because it's just like, yeah, Giannis, it's like, well, you didn't get enough votes, so here's fucking Kemba Walker starting the game for your team. He was not good at the end of that game, Joey.
No, he really wasn't. I thought it was exciting, though. I think the All-Star game usually sucks, and normally I don't even watch it, but I wanted to see this new 21 style scoring. The only thing I would do to change the Elam ending, Sean, is I would make it like the game of 21, where you have to get it exactly or else you lose points.
Oh, well then I would just make it that you have to win by two. That's all I would say. Because you're going like a playground way too. And then you get the extra element of like, if you're down 1 point, do you make it two? Or like you can win it on a three to come back from one down, because then you win, you know. It was good. I did feel a little discouraged about Giannis a little bit. It was kind of like, oh, Kawhi is still shutting you down. But it was, look, all the hard defense was pretty. Generally, I'm not someone who really celebrates that because it feels Puritan in a way. Mm-hmm. But it was tight. It was tight.
You like Kyle Lowry, assists?
Kyle Lowry being a fucking maniac at the end of that game was hilarious too.
Mm-hmm.
Just like an old man at a rec league, just drawing charges over bigger guys. Like, was tight. Also, Joey, do you think there was a conspiracy trying to keep Rudy Gobert from winning the MVP?
No. No, just no one wants that.
You know, he was the plus minus leader in the game, right?
I don't give a shit.
And they didn't at the end.
You know, Eric Paschal scored the most points in the rookie sophomore game and did not win the MVP, right? Was there also a fucking conspiracy there?
Yes, there was. There was an anti. Miles Bridges, you apologize.
That's just not what anybody wants in a fucking All-Star game. All right, I'm done talking about All-Star. Every other podcast is going to have done it. We've done it now. Let's finish. That's our episode. Sean,
yep.
What do you want to plug?
Read some shit on Yardbarker about the NFL. That's coming out.
The NFL? This,
yeah.
Have you made sure there's not a Sean Keen NFL that the people mad at you will harass?
There is one, but I don't think he was like he was working for, I don't even know if it was SB Nation or he was a Patriots blogger.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't get in trouble from all your hot take writing.
I know, look out. No, but this week I'm gonna have a thing about the biggest disappointments in the NBA season. And John Beilein, you might make the list.
As for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on February 16th, I tweeted, "The more golf I play, the more I realize I hate golf. I just spend money to be miserable and lose golf balls. I still finished fourth today somehow, though, so I'll play again tomorrow."
Is he talking about coming in fourth in his group? Because don't you usually play in a foursome?
I don't know. I don't know what he was talking about. Let's be honest. He was probably in a some kind of celebrity tournament, right? Yes.
I think he's actually a fairly good golfer.
Did you write a song?
I did. This is a, it's a Kevin Love song again. It's a Police song.
Great. Is it the King of Pain? Cause that's what he is.
It's this one's called, Love Can't Stand Losing.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And, shut it down. Let's all stop talking about the All-Star game and start talking about actual basketball games, except not on this show because that's not what we do.
Call Colby Altman on the phone today, and I'm not getting moved on the deadline day. Dan Gilbert insists that they give him a first, and I want to kill myself because his team's the worst. I guess I'm insubordinate, cause I'm gonna go out and play like shit. Love can't stand losing games. Altman saw my last trade demand and told me I could talk to the hand. I can't see the point in another game where Tristan's running just like he pulled up lame. I guess the team's incompetent, but if they give me a buyout, I want every cent. Love can't stand losing games. Oh. Thought we'd keep our powder dry. They don't care, so I don't try. I feel like it's a bad dream, and now Andre Drummond is on my team. I guess you'd call it a salary dump, but that guy's dumber than Forrest Gump. Love can't stand losing. Honestly, I'm sick of just saying the word losing, recording this song. I can't even imagine how the Cavaliers feel. But you know what? Why don't you relax, Kevin Love? Why don't you relax, Sting? And hey, John Beilein, you can relax all season long.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.